लाइट कैमरा
रोलिंग
एक्शन।
वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट लेट्स टॉक अबाउट वर्टिकल्स, अ प्लेस वेयर सीक्रेट्स आर स्पिल्ड, स्टोरीज अनफोल्ड एंड द मिस्टीरियस वर्ल्ड ऑफ वर्टिकल्स इज रिवील्ड इन ऑल इट्स ग्लोरी। Behind the scenes? Oh yes. Exclusive insights? Absolutely. Eccentric characters? You bet. So, pull up a chair, pour yourself something suspiciously strong, and prepare for a conversation you didn't know you needed. So, welcome to the podcast Let's Talk About Verticals. And now, let's talk. Hello and welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk About Verticals. Today with another actor who currently lives in Atlanta, as he told me. And I think that his name really calls for kind of superstar because it sounds really bright, full. And I said, hello, welcome to this podcast. I'm his first podcast, as he told me. So I hope he feels comfortable and we are getting through it with a great time. So hello and welcome to my podcast, Mr. Thomas King.
Hey, Michaela. Thank you so much for having me on.
Can you tell me why everyone always say Michaela? You cannot speak it correctly, right? In America? Michaela? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Normally it's called Michaela.
Michaela?
No, not a sh. Michaela.
Misha. Oh, sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Can I just call you Mick and then we...
No. Michaela is fine. I can live with that.
Michaela. For me, you've got a beautiful name.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Yeah, but your name is really great. Thomas King. Yeah. Sounds like a big Oscar-worthy superstar. Do you feel like an Oscar-worthy superstar actor?
I feel like I have the potential to hit that. Yeah, maybe not.
Did you become an actor only because of your name? Because you thought that sounds great?
It's funny because I don't, like, my last name is King. It's not a stage name. It's not like, I think it'd sound cool if I, my dad's name, Tom King, my grandpa's name, Tom King. I'm Thomas King because if we're all three in the same room, my mom wanted to be like Thomas. Now that I have a mustache right now, I'm sort of going by Tom just because it makes me feel.
Yeah, but to be honest, your name doesn't matter in the vertical because there are no credits after the verticals.
So for the
audience, we never get to know the name of the actors.
Some of them, like the one I did, Money Guns and Merry Christmas, actually, like some of them really do have credits if you stick around.
Yeah, but when I started watching verticals, there were no credits.
Yeah, no, I mean,
I thought sometimes, really nice acting, or really, really great team. Who is this guy, or who is this actress? Or he was the director of the. You didn't get anywhere the credits, and I thought that's really shitty.
It's a blessing and a curse, depending on especially when vertical started. I don't know an exact timeline for that. I've only been working on it since the summer of 2023, because I remember it felt like this could be like career suicide.
how did you get your first vertical role?
It was summer 2023.
So the very first beginning of verticals.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose, yeah. I mean, at least when they started to, like, pop off.
Yeah.
First one I did was, I think it was for Drama Box. It's called Black Cobra Strikes Back. Star Chenille Kerr, great actress, great friend of mine. And directed by Omar Thurby. I wish I could list everybody off. There's a lot of really good people. I met a lot of people from that. It was a crazy production. It's one of those, everything is shot in like 10 days and like the script is so grandiose at times, but like, well, we have the money to afford this like gaudy manor and we got it like, it's, oh, but it was a, but you, I don't know, but we learned a lot and.
Was it a little bit of chaotic because no one was really experienced in doing verticals?
Very chaotic. Like we'd gotten the script like 2 or 3 nights prior. And so you're just like, oh, well, we're just learning this. And it's the challenge. I mean, you see with a lot of verticals, like the dialogue is always crazy.
And a little bit silly sometimes.
Oh, it's very silly. It doesn't, there's a lot of times, like, I mean, sure, everybody that comes onto every podcast is like, oh, yeah, you're just a poor salesman. What does that mean? And then, like, you, like, and it's always, I mean, there's cool aspects of it. Of, like, I think somebody said, like, most verticals, at least those original ones, are work as, like, parables. Of trying to like not judge somebody because he might edge, but the weird thing is like, but he might actually be better than you. They have more money, or they're born into it, or
it's all about the money every time. Yeah. It's all about the money.
Yeah, but there, yeah, it's that weird like, but it seems to be like it harkens back. But it's, if it's old class money, it's okay. Like it's part of the foundation. It's part of the system. Don't challenge the system. But if it's new class money. Oh, the nouveau riche, we can't, they're evil people.
Yeah, but when you did your first vertical, what was your first impression about shooting in 16:9 when the director said, oh, you were too much out of the picture, you have to stand there? I mean, you're not that small shouldered guy, so
yeah, I
think it's difficult for you if you getting a big picture in a scene, the whole screen is full of you.
Yeah, I guess it makes me look a little bit bigger. I mean, and I don't know, I mean, you can tell like how I'm moving around. I tend to sort of sway. So it makes it a little bit difficult when they're just, there'll be a lot of times like, Thomas, cut, like, you gotta stop. You gotta stop moving, man. We gotta move on. Like, you gotta like, okay, or just plant your feet. And when I first did my verticals, like, I think at that point I'd gotten lucky. I'd only done like one thing on television, and that was for Tyler Perry's The Oval. So I had like one acting credit of like some size, but it was just like I had like 2 lines. That's it. You're not going to learn a lot from it. It was great. I mean, super grateful for it.
For entrance in this industry was good not to have as much as lines or.
Yeah. It was a nice little like easy walk in. But the verticals is definitely, I don't know, I feel like I'm answering the question, but I'm not answering the question. I'm sort of going off my own tangent.
Fine, totally fine. You can take over the podcast. I'm going on.
Okay. Well, maybe I need to go too. But
what gets you fixed? That you had the feeling, yes, that's exactly what I'd want to do again.
With verticals?
Yes.
Or... because that's where I'm getting work.
Yeah, okay, but was there something special which fixed you and said, oh, come on, yes, exactly that feeling I want again, or I like the atmosphere on set, or I don't know.
If there's, especially here in Atlanta, I think for these real shorts, specifically other, like, there's some great crews out here, just great people.
Have you always filmed in Atlanta?
I did one for Candy Jar out in Oklahoma City. And I had a great time out there, too. That was, he once called me wife.
I saw this one.
His name's Zane, something like that. And my brother, like my high school sweetheart. Ends up marrying my brother because we had a miscommunication. I thought she didn't like me, or I didn't think I was good enough for it with my mom. And then her, you know, brother turns out to be a prick, and then she comes back to me, and so on and so forth.
So totally realistic story, you would say.
Very realistic, of course. A love triangle between two brothers. One's a banker, and one's just a poor rancher, or whatever the hell I was. But it was... That was fun to work on. It was shot. A lot of the real shorts isn't like to be mean because they know what they make because they know what the audience wants. Mm-hmm. But I like with that thing with Candy Jar, I believe he's be called Galatea.
Yeah, it was Galatea before.
Yeah. And apparently his sister company that they base all of their verticals off. Because they publish books or published novels or like romance novels. And apparently they take like the top selling ones and then they take that story and adapt into a vertical. So there was a little bit more like realism, not like dead on, but like dialogue made a little more sense. It seemed like there was like a three act structure that doesn't just end like in a banquet hall for 30 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, I hate the storylines when it's a banquet. Most of the Christmas verticals were in it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The whole vertical is about the question, is this his true identity?
Oh, yeah. I love
it. And in this case, I sometimes think, oh, come on, listen, pull up your ID card, show them, and then it's totally clear that it's you.
So. No, I mean, the one I did with Money Guns, Merry Christmas, my character, Marcus Walton, makes the movie run for another like 50 minutes just for the fact. Oh, and everybody does it. Everybody like in the family is like questioning Damian Blaine. No, he can't be him. It can't. He's like showing us his phone. He shows us his ID. And my character responds like, this is AI forgery. And it's
he's
just like,
lying. It's a fake.
No,
oh, come on.
You're really going to believe this guy? Look at him. Look at his poor clothes. It's always like, yeah, it's.
How can you? I cannot imagine how can a script writer making money out of some script with only one question, is it him or not?
Well, that's what, like, I don't know. I mean, some of them, some of these scripts definitely feel like they're AI generated and then punched up and posed by somebody. And then depending on if it was written in Mandarin or Chinese, and then it feels like it's like Google translated.
Ah, okay.
And that's my guess. But I mean, I'm saying all this not to be mean to it, because clearly there's a quality to that. People like it. People enjoy watching it. It's comfortable.
Yeah, if there weren't enough people who watch it, they wouldn't make it anymore. But
yeah.
No, I mean, it sells. Why ever it sells? I don't understand. It sells.
No, I get it. It's like that's what I mean. Like it's become reluctantly, people is begrudgingly accepted. So, I mean, I think now Real Short has in Times Square in LA like billboards.
Yeah, I saw it on the Real Short stories.
Yeah. Now, granted, that's them also doing that to like legitimize themselves. But I mean, the fact that it's gotten big enough that they could do that and it's not like being laughed off.
Yeah.
It's because, I mean, I think in like real, like not to just keep taking back the Real Short, but I think that's like one of the top downloaded apps every month. Like top
I'm 10. Sure Real Short was also my first membership because they were
Can
really.
I ask you something?
Yeah.
How much was the subscription?
For a weekly membership in Real Short? I think at the moment it's 24 euros. Sometimes they have so special offers when it's Valentine's Day or what can I say? Yeah, listen, a weekly membership here in Germany, because it depends in which country you buy it also. And if you purchase it in dollars, euros.
Yeah.
A weekly membership in euros is actually $22.99. And the yearly membership is €229.99. And I mean, the thing is, I have 49 apps on my phone because there are always more blowing up. When I got some new advertise on Instagram, because you watch one advertise, you get every time advertising for that. I had the feeling that every new show that drops is a new app also. So right at the moment, I'm at 49 apps. So if I would purchase everywhere a yearly membership, I nearly have to be a billionaire.
No, I mean, it's like that's more than a yearly Netflix subscription.
But I don't know. I don't have Netflix. I don't
or any of your typical, I guess, streamer.
Yeah.
Like, or like Amazon Prime or anything like that.
Yeah.
And you get like, it's, well, I mean, they're growing, but like it's way less options. And, but people are paying for it. So, I mean, like there's definitely, there's.
Yeah. And there are still some apps where you cannot get a membership where you have to buy coins. And
yeah, no,
if you are doing that way, one show ended up round about at 40, 50 euros only for one show to watch. If you surely you can watch the ads. You are able to watch 5 or 6 ads per day.
Yeah.
But then you have to wait 24 hours that you can watch another. And yeah. I'm not that type of person who has the patience to watch one show about 5 days per week. So no, shitty. For me, it's more comfortable to get a membership to watch it straight, maybe rewatch if I really like it.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But no way.
Family members be like, yeah, can I watch this? I'm like, oh, you get on the app, you got to pay for it. But it was like $5. I'm like,
nope.
I'm like, well, sorry, man. I could go to the movie for that. Physically buy like a Blu-ray or anything and own something, whereas this is.
Yeah. Especially. Okay, when I was in the hospital, when I first time I got my weekly membership on Real Short, I haven't watched any vertical before, so I had a lot to watch on Real Short until I finished. Yeah, exactly the Asian ones. But I watched all verticals which were released on that platform. So this weekly membership was good invested because I saw a lot of verticals for this money. But if you once had a membership and you watched everything until the actual ones, so to get another membership, you only watch 2-3 shows again on that platform before because the rest isn't new for you.
Yeah.
So it's expensive.
No,
so it's stupid, kind of stupid. I had saw an advertising for a lot of shows where I thought, oh, that would be really nice show. But when I see, okay, they don't offer a membership, you have to pay coins for coins, or they offer a membership. Some platforms, a weekly membership is nearly 35 euros. So it's so stupid. It's so stupid expensive.
It is, and you can't, like, you can't put it on a big, I feel like at least for that price, you're going to pay it. I feel like you should be able to screencast it onto a bigger TV as opposed to being stuck onto your phone or tablet.
With RealShot, it works because RealShot, you can open RealShot on your laptop and log in. And maybe I have a MacBook and then I screen it via Apple TV on my TV. Oh, okay. Then it works. But that works only because you can, RealShot has his own online website where you can log in.
There's been a couple of times I've tried doing it. Like I tried watching it through like my PS5 and because I had friends over.
Yeah.
We're just logged in through like online, but it only let me go up to, it wouldn't let me go past the paywall. And then it was like, you have to watch the rest on the app. But maybe that's just how I was going about it. I don't know.
Do you watch your own verticals?
Yeah.
Completely?
Yeah, I'll watch it with friends and then we'll make a...
You're the first one ever who watch their own shows. I'm asking, do you watch some verticals? Maybe your own verticals when they were released? No, I never saw one. I only saw 1-2 scenes. No, I never saw one. And I said, really? Are you not interested how it looks?
Yeah.
Completely finished?
If nothing else, I mean, I at least want to treat it like, I guess, like game film. If that makes sense. Where I'm like, I can at least learn, like, All right, my mouth is a bit too agape right there. I need to cut that out because you don't, when we're filming it so quickly, we don't, as actors, we don't get to see what it looks like.
I think you are not filming the scenes rightly in this direction, how it's in the script. You are filming scene one and then scene 10, and then you jump back, aren't you?
Yeah, just depending on like what we need, depending on what location we're at, just what's required that day.
Yeah.
Stunts involved, there's going to be an intimacy scene. So yeah, you don't. And yeah, I mean, it's a little like, maybe you could call it like egotistical, but like, yeah.
So that's why I can't imagine why people look the finished end product.
Yeah, I mean, if nothing else, like, granted, I haven't done it yet, I need to, like, I think you should at least watch it to, you know, if you need to get a reel or something like that to help you get another job or like, I think you should at least be aware of your product and how it's being viewed or like, but granted, there's some stuff I've done, like I said, Money Goes Merry Christmas. Everybody that was working at the time, this is going to die. You know, this is going to be buried. It will be forgotten. And then it became like one of, I think it's like number two on Reel Shorts of like most watched.
Really?
Because yeah, I believe I could be wrong.
I'm not sure at the moment if I saw it, but
it's
entertainingly when bad. I watch all the shows which were released on Russia, I'm sure I saw it. Maybe you were not so good that I recognized you. Sorry for that.
I was just so into character.
Okay.
Yeah.
How many verticals did you do so far?
I've done 9, I believe. So I did one in July, and I just got done doing one like 2 weeks ago. I assume they'll be out next month or maybe November.
For which platform? Do you know that?
One, I think I could tell you it's for, is that Good Drama?
Good Short.
One's for Good Short, and the other one is for, I don't know if I could tell you yet. They were very secretive about it. They're testing some waters. But yeah, the one I did was for Good Short. I had a great time on that one.
Was there ever a vertical where the script sounded better than the filming was later?
Well, usually most of the scripts aren't that good. But
are you the person who reads the whole script before making a decision?
No, you don't usually get that. Like most of the ones I've done, you send you the audition, you do the audition. And you typically do like a callback. Mm-hmm. It's all self-tape. The audition usually is a self-tape that you film by yourself and the reader. And then the callback, it's sort of like how we're doing. We just do a Zoom. And then you do the same scene that you either did or they give you a new scene. And you just, that's usually the only information you have. You did that one scene. And then you get if you get booked, then you get the script. Like a few days later, maybe a week later, and then you read it and like, wow, okay. Going back to Money, Guns, and Merry Christmas, as where everybody was like, but it was entertaining and it was fun to work on.
Yeah, and sometimes it's just a job, isn't it?
Yeah, and it is. And like I said, especially, I'm not like, killing it in the acting world right now. I'm lucky enough to somewhat establish myself to a degree. But yeah, it's work, and each one of these that I've done, I'd like to think that I've gotten better at what I do. One of the things I do like with verticals, at least at the time I started working on it, now granted, it's going to mean the quality you're getting isn't the best, but it gives so many people a chance that otherwise wouldn't have to be on film and learn from it. And whether it's both like cast and crew, and just how its verticals are developing. I don't know. I mean, I think it's, they're sort of moving out that infancy stage of, even though basically know everything's going to be mistaken identity, heiress, everything like that, to now, what are we, alphas and all that. But now I feel like, and I think this is where things are being tested with like Candy Jar and all of that, is what is, does the audience want something a bit more sophisticated? Not just like in acting and writing, but also like the cinematography and production value, and because most of the, like, it's not to keep going back to real shorts, most of the time for real shorts it's like 5-7 people in a scene just standing around talking to each other, and you're just gonna clip here, and then there's the Greek chorus that's always like chiming in to like keep the audience filled in with exposition. But no, yeah, I mean, like one of the last ones I did, going back to like framing, typically, all right, you're going to be stuck here for the next 12 pages. Just don't move. Whereas the last one I did, the camera was very much like following us. And it was a little bit tricky because like, oh, it's vertical. So we've got to be like almost exactly right. And so we don't stack on top of each other. And I don't cover my scene partner's face.
When you did your verticals, can I say it? Was there a time when you finished it, you thought, what the heck was that? Because it was also fast going, you know? I think normally it's 7 days.
7 to 10 days, sometimes 5, just depending on how long the script is.
Do you have the time to process this whole filming or not? Or are you like in a tunnel for 7 days and you cannot calm down? You come home, you're reading your pages for the next day, you sleep not so well because your brain never tried to calm down because you're always in this fast working mode?
Yeah, yes, no. I mean, at this point, having done it, like you just really get used to it. But I'm not trying to like, I think there's also still just like, even times when I've been like on certain ones of like, what the hell was that?
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't make any sense. Why are we doing this? I'd still like, but at the end of the day, like I'd rather, because it's fulfilling. Like, so even if like, as long as I feel like I at least did all right, I did good, I at least felt like I was trying.
Yes.
Then like, even if it was like, you know, called a bad production, I haven't been on a bad production in that regard. But still, it's rewarding. It's what I want to do. I mean, granted, do I want to keep like doing bigger things? Yeah, but I'm here to act.
What did you do before acting? Or was it always your dream job to go acting?
Originally, I was supposed to go to law school, and it sounded really cool at parties. And you're like,
to law school?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you can't imagine me as a lawyer.
Nope. Sorry for that. Nope.
I think it'd be pretty good for the defense. I had some family members that were, you know, lawyers, and I think they're like, oh, yeah, that'll work. And especially where I came from back in Indiana, I could have. It's not guaranteed, but odds are I could have worked with somebody that my family knows and just had a career from there.
Okay.
But like, I noticed at one point, like, I think it was a girlfriend at the time. She was like, come on, like, you don't want to do that. I'm like, well, what do you mean? Like, I think it'd be good. And she's like, yeah, but like, have you even studied for it?
Nope.
And I'm like, oh, my God. It was like, there's practice tests everywhere. Like, have you tried? I'm like, well, no, I guess not. But I mean, I wanted to.
Okay.
But so it made me like, and it was scary. So I was like, oh, like my family really wants me to do this. And I don't know what profession I want to get into because I'm getting an English writing degree. And I'm like, great, cool, fun, but like, not exactly bankable. So at that point, I happened to like go out for the school's spring production.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing like three one-act plays all written by students.
Okay.
But it was on, you know, like the main stage, and I happened to get the lead part for one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And from when I did it that one time, it was called The Balloon Man. Balloon Man. I played a guy named George. Kept going back to the park because that's where his wife and him used to sell balloons. But now he has dementia. Now he's consoling this kid. But it was fun. But when I did that, I was like, oh, like, I think I'm good enough at this. And this is what I actually want to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, it's just been, yeah, because I moved to Atlanta 8 years ago. And that's always been the goal.
Why Atlanta, not LA, where all the vertical drama is based?
Prior, when I first started, when I moved down here, this is like before like the bubble burst with like the writing strike, the actor strike.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's like all the Marvel films were down here. And there were so many TV shows. I think it was like, for a minute, I was actually like, I wasn't acting, but I did some background work, but I was like standing in. So I was like, I was one of Lucas Till's stand-ins on the final season of MacGyver. Since I was there so often, they'd have me do all the off-camera dialogue, the majority of it. So I basically get to work with the actors, and that was a great learning experience. But yeah, no, but the reason why is just because at the time it was closer to Indiana. I didn't have that much money.
Okay.
And I was like, I think I could afford Atlanta, and it felt like I could get in on the infrastructure as it's building itself up.
Okay.
And I guess I'm not wrong, but
did you do some acting school?
Not really, and that probably shows.
No, because sometimes, you know, all the actors are doing some acting school, acting courses, and something like this, or school of art, or something.
I mean, I've done some. There's a great acting coach here in town, Robert Prago. Great guy. His name's like worth its weight in gold. But I don't know, it just never exactly, I couldn't stick to it. And I did some, and it's called Indies Actors Studio back in Indianapolis for a few months. But I can't say that I ever like stuck to an acting class for like years at a time.
Okay.
So both good and bad. But I feel like
more learning by doing then?
Yeah. And that's one of the things I've appreciated about verticals that I've been lucky enough to do as many as I have, is that you just get to like learn on the spot, and I have an actual idea, and especially since it's in such a rush to get things done, because you've got to film 13 pages today, however many, you just sort of like, you just get it, it either happens or it doesn't. And I feel like it just hones you, it sharpens you.
Do you have a trick to learn a lot of pages in a short time? Or how are you doing this?
I'm just looking off camera.
Okay.
No, I mean, I just read it and then you just go over in your head. And then I get lucky enough, I don't have per se the best memory. I ad-lib a little bit, not a lot, or I paraphrase.
Mm-hmm.
And usually you can sort of get away with that with verticals, because like the writing, they don't really care as much. As long as you're hitting
the meme,
they hit the big ones. And sometimes you need to change the dialogue, not just for it to sound better, but just for it to make just a little bit of sense.
A little bit.
Just enough, have a little bit of logic, but I mean, that's usually if you're like playing like the good guy. If you're playing the bad guy, like the shittier the dialogue, that means the shittier the character. So you could be like, if you're a shitty character, you could say shitty dialogue because it makes sense.
Did you play a shitty guy?
I've been Money, Guns, and Merry Christmas. I was the bad guy, Marcus Walton.
I have to watch it.
I know, I'm not trying to make it. I've got other ones I've done. I just, like, I did one called, it's probably maybe, I can't say it's my favorite, but it's one of my favorites. The Heiress and Her Possessive Bodyguard.
I heard this title before, but I don't know which exactly. Well, who was the female lead?
Viola Bennett.
Okay.
She's great. Like, she was, I'm just sort of like, working with her would sometimes piss me off because, like, why are you being so good right now on a vertical? And now I've got to be better at my job.
What do you hope for this vertical industry? What In your my opinion, what kind of change is needed to improve this industry a bit more?
I don't exactly know. I mean, what I could hope for, I really do think that from this medium, that I think we're going to get, like, whether in front of the camera or off the camera, like some generational talent that's going to change everything up. Because they're going to see, whether it's within verticals, your classic horizontal, there's going to be a new perspective. But how can you, like, keep it going and keep it, this isn't just like a fad that's going to be gone in like 5 to 10 years? I don't know. I guess, like, so that's the question, like, because a lot of verticals are sort of just comforting junk food.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. Because sometimes that's just what people want. You just want something to get relaxed and turn your brain off.
Yeah, but I think, or I see the problem that, you know, the story repeats a lot.
Yeah.
When a storyline from half a year ago maybe is new released now.
They, like, and basically remake the same movie.
Yes, and you start watching it and you're thinking, oh, come on, this shit again.
Yeah.
It's... I'm sometimes miss something fresh and new in the storyline.
I think the problem, like you said, I mean, it's not to, like, you know, like, toot my own horn, but, like, when I did, like, Heiress for Possess a Bodyguard, at the time we were like, this is actually, like, a solid script. This is, like, it's got a 3-act structure. Mm-hmm. People are going through things. Like, yeah, it's still, like, goofy. It's still a vertical. But, like, we were doing some cool things with the lighting. It's moodier. It's I don't know, like, solid acting, like, all across the board. And it didn't do that well. It just, nobody really watched it. Not okay. saying it was, like, a full-on breath of fresh air, but whether you could say that's just due to lack of established stars, I don't know, it just didn't take off. But every review that's gotten, or people have told me, I've been recognized from it. Like, people seem to like it, but it just didn't catch on.
It's kind of, sometimes I saw verticals with a great storyline, and then when you see how many or how less views this kind of had, I was thinking, really? That's such a great story. Be open to new ones to watch it.
Yeah.
But sometimes, normally in the first half year, I never turned off a vertical. But now it happens often because you watch in, you saw the first episodes, and then you see, okay, it's going to be the same story, blah, blah, as every time. And that's, for me, not entertaining anymore. I really liked, in the last weeks, there were a lot of sport verticals.
Yeah.
Some kind of hockey, some kind of football, tennis. Yeah.
They've been getting really good into the sports realm.
Yes. So it looks like they are trying the sports thing now.
Yeah.
And I
also captain.
Yeah. Yeah. A billionaire. Don't forget the billionaire. That's really important. Don't forget the billionaire.
And nobody knows. Nobody can guess.
Yeah. No one recognized me. No one is able to know that I am the billionaire.
No, and the thing is, like, you could, because, I mean, the past two that I've done, that concept's still baked in, where, like, hidden identity or mistaken identity.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if you just, like, I mean, it's a cliche, but as long as you're working on it, at least, or, like, trying to give something new to it, I think it'd still be fun. But, like, I just, to the point, it's just, like, there was one I did, like, the second one I did, I think it was called Baby Just Say Yes. And it did well enough in real shorts. They ended up, like, just remaking it, like, a few months later. Different actors and, like, I don't know.
Yeah, but okay, it was a bit of month time between them. Sometimes exactly the same stories are getting released
same
with
shots.
Yeah. Like, different cast, different platforms, but exactly, totally the same story.
Yeah.
And only 2 or 3 days release apart.
Yeah, it's, I mean, just this week. One, it's probably, it's just cheaper.
What do you, what kind of genre do you like to play? More the bad guy or more the love billionaire like in Worst Date Ever? You were also the hidden billionaire.
I really liked Worst Date Ever because I got to be goofy, like fun. And like, I got to be sort of like, felt like I got to be like a golden retriever to a degree. Goofy. They made, oh god, it made me take off my shirt. I wasn't shaved, but it made that scene a little bit more funny, in my opinion. And that was a fun cast to work with as well. And a great, two great directors on it. And I, it was the first time we, I think, I got to do one of these where, like, the Viglu wrote that script to be like intentionally funny.
Okay.
And not the opposite, where I'm not saying everything works.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't unintentional humor that a lot of these have, or where the actors have to take it upon themselves, where it's like, this is bad. The only way we could sell this is if we buy into the camp and hamminess of it all.
Mm-hmm.
But like, yeah, First Date Ever or Worst Date Ever, we got to be like, it was like a fun, sweet rom-com.
Really, the rom-coms are nice.
Yeah. But I mean, I like playing the bad guy. Bad guys are fun. Like a buffoon bad guy with a hint of menace. It's fun to do like a serious hero, but at the same time, the problem with like doing the serious hero stuff is they end up giving them like too much dialogue and they have to over explain how they feel. And then you just like, buy it. And like, nobody ever like, but Batman Returns, like Michael Keaton, apparently, like, it's not like a great movie. But like one of the things that works about his character is like he barely talks in it. He's just but like then you get so many of these other movies where they feel like, no, what the audience needs to know. You need to say what you're thinking, what you're feeling, or you need to yell no or be careful.
Did you ever meet a werewolf? No.
No. I've auditioned to be an alpha before, but I was not found to be alpha enough, I suppose.
Really?
Yeah,
I think you would fit good in a werewolf scene.
I think I'd be good in anything, but you know, I guess my
also a mafia, also a mafia type.
I almost did a mafia one, but actually almost did that over Black Cobra Strikes Back. But I auditioned for both of them, but Black Cobra Strikes Back got offered to me first before
the
mafia one did. But I don't know, the mafia, like, I don't look very Italian.
You would fit really good in a Western movie.
I would love to do a Western.
I don't know why, but I think you will fit with this mustache and a cowboy hat. Yeah, you would fit in a Western vertical. Silent. Can you ride a horse?
Sure.
It's not so a problem to learn this. Yeah. But Western would be really great, I think.
I'd love to do a Western. I could work my Texas one, my Southern drawl or Western twang.
No, because I spoke to Roberta from Sparta Productions.
Yeah.
And I said to her, listen, Western would be really great. And I thought that it's a little bit complicated to film a Western because of, you know, the location, saloons. And she told me, no, not a problem. We can do this. So I decide to win the lottery. And then I go to Roberta and say, listen, Roberta, you can do the Western. I will be your money.
I think they dabbled in it here and there with some Western stuff. Like, I've seen bits of it. I just don't think that genre, like, they've done, like, I guess, like, romance novel Westerns to a degree of, like, it's still, like, modern.
Yeah, but it's okay. You know, it's a romance Western, totally fine with that, but not the classic billionaire suit company banquet hall locations, you know what I mean? Yeah. And maybe some duels with the weapons. That would be great.
My favorite thing is any of them when like there's a fight in one of these, and it's the easiest because like you gotta learn these stunts like on the day. And like, you ever notice, like, if somebody throws a punch, typically, like, the good guy grabs him by the collar and then like punches him once and punches him.
Yeah.
Just because it's, yeah, they call that, I think they call that a cowboy punch. So it would be.
A cowboy punch? Okay.
I might be mistaken and I'm giving you false information.
Yeah, but that will be great, a Western.
I think that could be.
You fit more in a Western than in a mafia.
Yeah.
For sure. It's and when you think about your name, Thomas King in a Western, that sounds great. Yeah. Tom King, the sheriff. You want to do the sheriff?
I knew that. I'd be a drifter that comes into town. That's right to all the wrongs.
Then you can say, howdy.
Yeehaw.
Yeah.
Raw.
That would be great with some chaps on and
yeah.
Why not?
Old run out cigarette or whatever.
What kind of role would be challenging for you? What kind of character? You would love to play, but would be challenging for you.
Yeah. I don't know. They're all a little challenging.
So really psychotic or something like that?
That'd be fun. Like I wouldn't mind doing like unhinged, like full tilt, like. But I mean, I don't want to do it in such a way that it's like goofy. Like, all right, you know, like it'd be nice just to do a character with this guy is menacing. That'd be cool.
And not challenging or only cool?
Bit of both. Because it's tough. It's tough to be. I think it's really tough to be like menacing and then like be. But to be believable, playing deaf would be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I imagine being blind might be, or playing blind would be an interesting challenge. And then, like you said, yeah, you want to make it look. I mean, I know these things can be goofy, but you at least want to like pay respect to people that are actually not just pay respect, but like.
Yeah, I know what you mean. You don't make fun of them.
Yeah. I mean, that seems like a hell of a challenge. Like, I don't know. Usually, most of the stuff I do, I just try to be like, all right, just be charming, and then maybe like a little bit like
good lookalike and charming always works out. Had you ever a role where you had to do some kind of special preparation for it?
No, usually most of these like happen so quickly that it just hasn't happened yet. Like, if like said, did like play blind character or characters like. Plays a guitar or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
To ride a horse. No, it hasn't happened. Like, I think there's one just came out in Real Shorts where it's like Kitchen Hero or something like that. Chefs. I don't know, but like the.
Can you cook?
No.
No. Absolutely not.
That cookbook you have, I would destroy all those recipes.
It's in German.
Yeah, so that'd be even worse. But yeah, I've never done any like chef thing where like
cooking verticals are really nice.
I feel like they could be relaxing, depending if they're done.
Alexandria told me in this meet and greet that they had a lot to eat on the set because of the storyline. So it's not so bad to do a cooking vertical.
Guess they're like, well, we don't need to get crafty. We just like eat what's here. Production can save some cost.
Yeah, why not? How many classic ones, towel drops, proposal, and so on you have in your verticals? Did you ever count that?
I've done that one time. And that was in a dream sequence.
Only one?
Yeah, I had to get in better shape, you know? That's my special preparation.
No, because it's every time. Towel dropped, proposals.
Bodyguard had a bit of a moment like that. But, like, it's not me. It was a girl, actually. And I'm trying to, like, well, I don't want to, like, look. So I have to grab her. And, like, she lands on top of me. And we, like, share a moment. But, like, her breasts are against my chest. I can't see them. And her
honesty. Okay. Totally realistic.
Another day in the life of vertical.
Yeah, vertical makes it possible. That is it. On the end of every episode, I'm asking or I'm doing a 5-question quickie with everyone. Yeah. So are you ready for your 5 questions? Yeah. Let's see. The first one is, what's your favorite dish?
Chicken fingers.
What?
Chicken fingers.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, well, that's my childhood answer. I mean, I could like think long and hard, like, oh, actually, I love like a good herb chicken with like garlic spinach and jambalaya rice on the side. But if you're like putting a gun to my head, it's chicken fingers.
You're a chicken type?
Yeah, chicken fingers with some nice honey mustard.
Oh, that's nice.
With maybe a little garlic on it. I love a little bit of garlic on it. Just give it a little bit of flavor. It can't just be like a boring...
Yeah, garlic is important in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Some people don't understand and say, no, I don't like it. But garlic in the right dose is really great.
I love putting it on my scrambled eggs, actually.
Like, I don't like eggs. I have chicken, but I don't like eggs.
Chicken at all? Or are you just... I mean, do you like chicken breast?
Yeah, when I eat meat, a good friend of mine is breeding Galloway.
Okay.
Then I eat some really great Galloway steaks or chicken. I don't like the taste of eggs on its own, like scrambled eggs or cooked. I made my own pasta with eggs. I bake with eggs. All of that. It's not that I totally decline eggs, but I only like it.
If it's an ingredient.
Yeah. Then I like it, but not on its own, a scrambled egg or something like that. I don't like it. I'm no vegetarian, no vegan, no. I'm totally open to all kind of food.
Yeah.
Not spicy one.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like really spicy food because spicy, then you don't have the taste of the food by itself. It's only spicy.
Okay. I like a little bit of spice.
And normally I'm more into baking. What's your favorite film?
I hate to be like, I don't want to be like, oh, my, sounds like a letterboxed answer, but I love Chinatown, Jack Nicholson and Faye Dunaway.
I never saw that.
Really great movie. It's like, holds up very well. Like, it's one of the best.
Have you ever seen the movie Field of Dreams with Kevin Costner?
I've seen bits of that. And
that's so great. Where he had visions of a baseball
building.
Field. And, yeah. That's so, I love this one. That's really good.
Actually, Kevin Costner is a really good movie. It's sort of like a recent favorite of mine. It's called Let Him Go with him and Diane Lane. I think it's based off a novel, but it's like, just they're great in it together. And like, there's how they like capture violence in it is so disturbingly realistic because it's not bloody.
Yeah.
It's just like, it just happened.
And do you know who I also like as an actor? Tom Hanks.
Oh, yeah.
So many Tom Hanks movies are so great.
He's always dependent on me like that. Catch Me If You Can. I love him in that.
Yeah, or Apollo 13.
Oh, yeah.
I love the story. Or Tom Hanks, classic Tom Hanks in Forrest Gump.
Oh, that's one of the, I used to do that impersonation. And I was like, I might not be a very smart man, you know, but I know what love is.
Yeah. Or with Denzel Washington in Philadelphia.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's a great movie. Do you like
or Castaway, also a great one.
Toy Story,
I like him as an actor, really.
What was the one you directed? That thing you do.
I don't know.
It's like a one-hit wonder band.
Yeah. Another film I liked with him was, what was he called? In Germany, it was called Email für dich. I think Email for you. What was the
code? You got mail.
Yes. That's I like that. Yeah, that's a typical vertical rom-com. Yeah. But without a bad stepmom, without a stepsister, without kidnapping, without slapping. So
somebody like, there's always like weird, like gratuitous violence like to women. And, like, and, yeah.
Are you more the movie type or more the serious type?
Probably more of a movie type. I mean, I love some series, but usually they're like not that long. Like, look, Barry. It's a great show on HBO. first season of True Detective. I like comedies too, if I just keep listing them off. I mean, Barry's a comedy, but it's a dark comedy. I love Cowboy Bebop, even though I've only watched it once, so I can't like name everything from that, but it's a great anime.
Okay. So more the movie type?
Yeah.
Are you going classically to cinema, or are you the streaming type?
I try to still go to the theaters. I just enjoy that feeling.
Getting popcorn and this stuff.
I'll spend $10.
Some tacos and nachos.
But nachos, I guess, you could do tacos. One of my favorite things I don't like to do anymore, but like getting like Skittles and popcorn, eating it together.
Skittles and popcorn.
Yeah, it's sweet and savory, sweet and salty.
I baked a Christmas cookie last year, chocolate with pretzels on it.
Oh, that sounds good. Mm. Do you have a little bit of peanut butter in it too?
Yes.
Maybe some that year I'll be in Germany for Christmas. For a job, a Western shot in Germany around Christmas.
I cannot shoot a Western in Germany. I don't think that would fit. Christmas. You can shoot here at Christmas vertical because we have a lot of snow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And really nice landscapes.
Germany's lovely.
And really good food. Yeah, I think you have to come over.
I'll see if I can make my way.
I'm sorry for that. But you have to come over. More easier.
It would be. I agree. I'll talk to my mom about it. She's like, you're coming home for Christmas every year. So I'm like, nah.
No, you don't have to come over for Christmas. You don't have to. You can come over whenever you want.
Okay.
We have the whole year good food. You know?
The wide window.
Absolutely.
Okay. Might take it one proper.
I will ask you the last two questions, okay? No, three. Okay. What's your favorite song? What kind of music do you like? And what song you put on to get in a good mood?
It changes a lot. I do like sort of melancholic songs to a degree. Like the song that always comes to my head when I think of my favorite song is probably Shimmer by Fuel, but then there's also Forrest Gump by Frank Ocean. Mm-hmm. Also, like melancholic, but I like there's a good, really good song called by Malcolm McNeil. Once, How Do You Do by Malcolm McNeil. I think that it was like a Swedish band from like the 70s, and it's got like such a.
Do you do things like this one? No, because this How Do You Do. Which yeah. I think it was also a Swedish band.
Really? Maybe that. Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
No, it was a little bit faster. How do you do like you do? Things like we do. I want to know good everything.
That's a good song. Do.
How do you do? Maybe everything wants to you. I say why. Why? Why? Nope. No, but that's a really nice song to get in a good mood.
It sounds great. I would say the one that I
will send you a link over. You have to listen to the origin. It's really good.
Wow.
Makes a good mood.
I'll send you Malcolm McNeil's.
Yes, please.
Yeah. It's the only song. I think they got a couple of good songs, but that one definitely.
I like to listen to 30 Seconds to Mars sometimes.
I don't really know the discography too well, 30 Seconds to Mars. I feel like I should like it, but for whatever reason.
No, they have one song where you can scream with it, you can sing with it, you can dance to your apartment. That's really great. That's really great.
Yeah.
Closer to the Edge is the name of the song.
I really like Pine Grove right now. I think
okay.
Like, it's called Midwest Emo. It's apparently the genre. So it's like, it's not what you expect to be.
You have to like Wild Wild West from Will Smith, eh? to get to the Western.
I also really like that movie. Gosh.
What's your favorite vertical? Produce with you in it or not? Doesn't matter.
You know, I guess I don't watch any that I'm not in. So.
Oh, ooh. I don't watch any. Okay.
Let's just just go with Eros and Possessive Bodyguard, because it's the first time I was a lead in something, and I really enjoyed that cast and crew, and I felt like I learned a lot. And it's like a fun little, like, there's action, there's romance, there's a will they, won't they element to it.
A proposal?
Yeah, well, no, let that one slide, though. Like, we could lose that.
Okay, that's good.
No proposal.
What happened? No proposal. What happened? What went wrong in this?
That's why I didn't do well.
Okay, yeah. Well, no proposal. Towel drop?
Well, there was but it was reverse towel drop. So I guess okay. That's why it didn't work.
Okay.
So it needed more, like, I guess.
Yeah, but towel drops are more attractive than a proposal, you know? So, yeah.
Maybe a towel drop turned into a proposal.
No.
And it's just, you know, he drops it and then the ring's right there. And they didn't.
No.
Is that a different kind of movie at that point?
No. And the last question, what genre you want to see or to have without the Western as a vertical? Kind of science fiction, action, thriller, yeah. Horror, comedy?
I mean, it's more intentional comedy, like Baby, or not, I don't know, a little bit. Worst date ever. So you could do I don't know if it'd be good or not, but like a detective noir. That'd be cool.
Detective? Huh.
Like a little bit of like a Maltese Falcon or Seven, but I highly doubt it would be good, but that'd be cool if you tried it. You never know. It could be good.
Yeah, if you don't try, you never know. So. Yeah. I say thank you for your time for this recording of The Vertical.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for having me on. It was great talking to you. It was fun. Thank you for letting me just basically talk about myself and ramble.
If you want to talk to, not to you, over you again, you feel free.
Yeah.
We just started. Maybe we can catch up in a year.
Yeah, I may get another 20 verticals under my belt.
Yeah, why not? Maybe some Western.
You get that thing greenlit, and it could be...
I tried to win the jackpot lottery, so...
I think they'll cover us, yeah. They'll cover, I mean, my fee is like...
But I'm then million. The boss, okay?
Aren't you already the boss?
No.
No.
I'm the host, not the boss. You know, host sounds better than boss. So I say thank you very much. It was a pleasure. And I wish you a great week so far.
Yeah. Same
to
you.
Hi. This is a wrap on this episode, and I hope you tune in again.